Daniel, come up here for a minute, son. Y'all know Daniel competed in the Olympics last weekend, and I wanted you to see his, he was in, competed in two events in swimming, and this is his fifth place ribbon in swimming, and he also got seventh place, and he did backstroke, and what was the other one?
Butterfly.
Butterfly. And that means he, in those events, he was fifth and seventh in the whole state of Georgia. So we're real proud of Daniel. All right. God bless you, buddy. Also, because we have, sounds like they might have tied him up back there. Getting ready to light the fire now, I'm sure. I'm sorry. Hey, Travis. Good to see you there, bud. This morning we're glad to have Dr. Armstrong with us again. She is she passed her boards, and we are so happy. She's happy about it, but her parents are extremely happy about that. And God bless you. Also out in, what do we call that? Is it the narthex? Is it the vestibule? Is it the room you walk through before you come in here? Whatever your name. On the foyer. There you go. There are some of the SEMA, Chatham Emergency Management folders and booklets that are out there, particularly as we have entered now. You know, we got a tropical storm out here. This season of the year, being prepared. Those of you that didn't make it to Mr. Paschalskis, number two, his seminar for us. Get a little update out there on things you need to do to prepare, and I encourage you to take one of those as we prepare for the season and any other event that may take place. Tomorrow is Memorial Day, and how many of you have a relative that died in service of our country? Would you raise your hand? Okay. All right. The freedoms we enjoy today, purchased with the blood of many that have gone before us, and we thank God for them. I was looking through my pictures last week, and every year this time, I look through those pictures. I look at those pictures of Josh Byers, Captain Byers, who was part of our church at the beginning, and who gave his life, was trained at West Point, had prepared his whole life to be in the Army, man of God. Dad, Mom were church planters. I asked him one day, I said, "Son, what is it about?" He said, "Brother Dustin," said, "I've been preparing for this all my life. Said, it's a calling on my life." And he said, "I want to be a tank captain to command men and to fight for the freedom of this country." And he did that, and he gave his life. He died in an explosion, improvised explosive device, took his life. And but his, even... I don't know if y'all saw that. You can go out on the internet and find it, that President used part of things that Josh wrote in one of his speeches. And but what an honor, and what a sacrifice at the same time. Would you join me in prayer, please? Lord, tomorrow we will, me and people will be having barbecue and going to the beach and enjoying a holiday. But Lord, in other ways, it's a holy day. It's a special day as we remember those who have gone before us. Lord, I thank you that for the privilege of living in the freest country that has ever been on the face of the planet. in the history of the world. And Lord, as we not perfect, Lord, we have many sins of the past, but I thank You for what we enjoy today. And I thank You for those who have served us in the past, those who've given their lives. I pray Your comfort for their families today. And Lord, even back generations, those who have gone before. Lord, for our guys and gals that are out there on the front line today, all over the world in various aspects of service, I want to thank You for them. I want to thank You for their faithfulness. Lord, they're not in it for the money, that's for sure. But a higher calling. And I ask, God, that You would protect them. Protect their lives today. Lord, I don't know where Tim Sharm is right now, but where he is in the world, but I ask You to watch over him. And many others, Lord, they're connected to us that we know. Lord, thank You. Thank You. And I pray for our country and those who lead us for a depth of gratitude to descend upon this country. We love You, Jesus. Thank You. Amen. If you have your Bible, if you turn to Acts chapter 4 with me today, Acts chapter 4. We're going to talk about prayer again as we continue in this series on Faith for the Times. Just to bring you up to speed a little bit. You know, last Sunday we talked about Jonah and his prayer there, and I hope you took the time to go back and read that and read the whole book of Jonah. Fascinating story. But just a little history of to bring you up to speed, see where we are, and you get the background of the passage that I'm going to read for you today. Pentecost has come. Holy Spirit has come. The church has been born. God has brought together this thing that was a mystery in times past. It's a mysterion. Cloaked by the Lord. Now it's revealed. This is it, that He has brought it. He's brought it to pass. Peter preaches that great, great sermon. Many people come to know the Lord. Peter and John, then we move on to the third chapter. The church is growing. The lame beggar there sitting at the gate. And we see that great story, you know, they speak to him, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I given to You in the name of Jesus. Get up and walk, and he does. And then Peter preaches another sermon later on in chapter 3. And then he and John manage to get arrested. Many of our brothers and sisters around the world are arrested because of their faith, even today. And then there's pressure for them to be released. And I want to begin reading in verse 13 of chapter 4. If you're there, you can follow with me as we get the rest of the story. Now they, being the one, the Jews that had them arrested, observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men. They were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. What a testimony. Untrained, uneducated, no other way in which they could be recognized, but here's the one thing that they remember. They've been with Jesus. Phew. What a compliment that would be for us. And seeing that the man who had been healed standing with them, they had nothing to say in reply. What could you say? Here's a man that everybody knew that was lame because they had passed by him on the way. All the times, the numbers of people they had given to him money. And now, here he is. He had been walking and leaping and praising God. Kind of hard to ignore him. Verse 15, but when they had ordered them to leave the council, they began to confer with one another, saying, what shall we do with these men? For the fact that a noteworthy miracle is taking place is apparent to all who live in Jerusalem. We cannot deny it. In other words, here, they're going to be faced with the fact that a miracle, signs and wonders have taken place. What are we going to do with that? We can't ignore it. And see, they have a political problem on their hands. But so it will not spread any further among the people, lest warn them to speak no longer to any man in this name. So they're going to threaten them. When they had summoned them, they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. And Peter and John answered and said to them, listen to this, whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. For we cannot stop speaking about that which we've seen and heard. When they had threatened them further, they let them go, finding no basis on which to punish them on account of the people, because they were all glorifying God for what had happened. For the man was more than 40 years old on whom the miracle of healing had been performed. 40 years they'd gotten to see. When they'd been released, verse 23, they went to their own companions, this is Peter and John now, and reported all the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard this, they lifted their voices. So this prayer begins. Here's the prayer. With one accord they said, O Lord, it is you made heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of a father David, your servant spoke. And here's a quote from the second psalm. You can go back and read it. Read the full text of it. But here's a quote from it. Why did the Gentiles rage? The peoples devise futile things. The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. For truly in this city they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur. And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence, while you extend your hand to heal and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the Word of God. What a beautiful story. These disciples of Yeshua, of Jesus, they looked death and the circumstances that surrounded them squarely in the eye. They didn't try to dress them up. They didn't try to pretend that their circumstance was anything other than what it was. Their lives were being threatened. They're out preaching about Jesus. They had seen God do wonderful things. Now they get arrested. And here they come before these men who were supposed to be representatives of God, but they were not. They were representatives of themselves, their own agendas. But here Peter and John look at things like they really are. They're seeing clearly. They're seeing their circumstance. They're seeing that, hey, they could die. Man, when you make a statement like, whether it's right for you in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. But as for us, we're not shutting up. We're not going to shut up. You're not going to be able to tell us to be quiet. That's a pretty good grip on the circumstances, didn't it? You ever been sick? Where you needed absolute divine intervention in your life? You ever had a problem in your family that you need a miracle to take place? Have you been close to death before? How many of you have had near-death experiences? I bet most of us could tell a story. As I was reading this story and I was thinking about that this week, I thought about my buddy Lindy Moore sitting in that little trailer down south of Midway somewhere out on the river, and we'd been out busting shells, you know, shooting, target shooting, and I don't know how much ammunition we'd gone through, and we'd had a nice dinner, steak dinner. We cooked a steak over the fire, and open fire. Oh, it was good. Tasted real good. And we're about to go to bed, and we're putting up our rifles, and we're sitting there, and he's about this far away from me, sitting across in this little tiny, tiny camper trailer that his dad had left on this piece of property that I owned. And I was about to clean my gun and put it up. I had the bolt open on it, and he had a semi-automatic, and he was unloading it, and his finger got around the trigger there, and for some reason he pulled the trigger, and it wasn't unloaded. And I had my arm up on the seat there, and the bullet went right there. I was white before that experience, but God finished the job as all color whatsoever went out of my body, and I realized I was that close. I mean, you're talking just a few inches from my heart. Getaway Road one day. My mother had refused to let me have a motorcycle, but my dad, in a weak moment, I was in college, didn't know till later on what conflict they had had in the background about that, but I'm riding this motorcycle that I'd bought, and a person pulled out in front of me. And I'll never forget how time just, you know, they say when you're having one of these experiences, it's like it goes in slow motion. Well, that's how it was happening. I could see everything around me, everything. The other cars, I could see the person in the vehicle who still had not seen me. And I'm on this motorcycle and I've locked down the brake. And the back end is starting to come around. And I'm thinking, I'm about to do about 50 miles an hour right into the side of this car. And all that's going through my mind. And quickly, then they move out of the intersection, and I manage to get the motorcycle back straight. About a block down the way, it then hit me, and I had another one of those experiences. And I'm shaking so bad that I can't do the clutch and the throttle. I had to pull the motorcycle over. How many times for you has it been? How close? Just like that. Circumstances. How many airplanes have you flown on? Trains you've been on? Buses? That close. Are you apprised of the circumstances that are always surrounding you and realizing that there is only one who is Lord over all the circumstances, and Lord over your life, and Lord over everything that goes on in this earth. And He is Lord of all. And for some reason, He has let you live this long. For some reason, For some reason, He has blessed you. Your neighbor got sick and died. You were the twin that lived. You were the person that was not aborted. You're living today. You're not victimized by circumstances. God's hand is on you. And for whatever else is going on, and you can't wrap your mind around and begin to understand all of that and say, and don't even bother with the why questions to God. Just accept the gift. Because this side of glory, you're not ever going to know why. You'll spend the rest of your days wasting your time on the why question. Just accept the gift. Accept what God has given you. And look at the circumstances that you presently are facing squarely in the eye and say, Lord, I'm going to serve you no matter what. That's what Peter and John did. That's where they were. And I want to let you know too, there's kind of a baptized Dirty Harry moment. I know I'm mixing my metaphors real bad here. I know it's probably going to take some of the theological anal retentives for a trip that you may not get back from, but that's okay. Because let me tell you, the Bible isn't always all cleaned up, is it? It just tells the truth right where it is. They didn't let their accusers off the hook. You see, that their accusers, these so-called religious men, wanted to just sweep them under the rug. Wanted them to shut up. Wanted them not to talk. Just get out of our presence. They would like to have tortured them. They would like to have sent them to prison. But because of the people, these wimpish guys who were victimized by circumstance because they chose to be that way. These wimpish religious leaders, they had to let them off. They had to release them because of the people. Because they feared the people. They were politicians. They were bought. They were men that could be bought. Let me tell you, the world is full of men and women that can be bought. And there are plenty of folks out there that want to buy you. And they'll try it. But not Peter and John. They wouldn't let them off the hook. They announced, hear it again, whether it is right in the sight of God, of Yahweh, to give heed to you rather than to God. You be the judge. Now, what is he saying? He's saying, which way do you think we're going to pick? Look at what we just experienced. We've seen the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, come on the church. We've seen miraculous things. We've seen lives changed. And right here standing with us is an example of that. Here's a man who was lame from birth, and yet he walks today, and he's giving praise to God. So, you be the judge. We cannot stop speaking about that which we have seen and heard. They didn't go away quietly. They were announcing the truth. They were engaging the enemy of their souls. They were not letting it be said and say, oh, just shut up and move to the side. And don't speak in that name anymore. No. It was more like, go ahead. Make my day. I'm going to speak the truth. And there's not one thing in the earth that you can do to stop me. They could not be bought. They could not. They were not after revenge. Now, there's the difference in the story. It wasn't revenge. It was justice. And they're very different. They were going to make those guys take it. I'm going to speak the truth. And then you just do what you have to do. That's people that can't be bought. And what did they do immediately? They threatened them, the religious leaders threatened them. Then it says in verse 21, and then they let them go on account of the people because they were all glorifying God, what had happened. You know, here they are released to this throng of people that give them praise to God. And then they go immediately to their companions, other believers, quite a group by this time, thousands, who received Jesus. And they began to rejoice with their faith community, the people that they were one with because of the faith that they had in Jesus. And what's the first thing they do? They pray. They pray. And they give praise to God. And they do this little historical thing, which puts it in perspective. Praise Him as Creator, and they go back in this prayer, and they quote the second psalm, which was a prophetic psalm, which was looking forward to the overarching what God was going to do, the heathen raging, the Gentiles, and all these other things that are going on, what's going on in the earth, and rulers being against Jesus, and what they had just seen, that even Pontius Pilate was part of the story. And Herod was part of the story. And the Jews, the unbelieving Jews that were there, they were part of the story. And they wanted Jesus dead. And then you go back and you look at all the times at this cosmic struggle, this throwdown, if you will, between that which is good and that which is evil. You see the times as the devil, as he is in the earth, and their battle with the world, the flesh, and the devil, and the times when he tried to kill them, all the times when he tried to kill the Jews, when he tried to wipe them out, and all the times through their history, the time when he tried to kill Jesus. You know, we have it in down in Egypt when the slaying of all the male children. We have it there when Jesus is born. As Herod does the same thing over and over and over again. These plots that are hatched against the work of God in the earth, and for us to sit here and think that it's any different today. Oh, it's more complicated today. No, it's not more complicated today. It's never been more complicated. It's still this simple story. It's God's good news. And it's the evil that is against that that is going on. It's God and it's not God. Those are always the issues. It's never more complicated than that. And here it is. They prayed. They prayed. They acknowledged their Creator. They acknowledged the battle. They didn't go around trying to pretend like, oh, it's not this way. And let me tell you, they didn't borrow from tomorrow's struggles. They didn't have to create demons behind every bush. They just recognized all the ones that were there. And for us to be stupid and act like, hey, evil isn't going on around us, and live in some little theological never-never land out here and think we're all above it or we're out of it, you can't run far enough away to get away from the battle, because it is what history is all about. But we know God has a plan. He's coming again. He's coming again. And in the meantime, He's coming in every place where we invite Him, in our hearts and in the places, in the work that we have to do right now. The great work of the good news. They saw the connection of the coming of Jesus. Well, what is the story about? What has it always been about? It's always been about God's plan of redemption. God's plan of love. God reaching out to this globe in love. Ever since the fall, even from the foundation of the world, the Scripture says He was slain. It's always been about that. And He came and He died in our place on the cross. He was buried and He rose again on the third day. He ascended back to the right hand of the Father. He sat down with His work completed and now invites everyone to come to Him in faith and trust, will come and receive Him, and their lives will be different. They can be part of the community. They can be part of the physical, real body, the hands and feet body of Jesus on this earth, whatever the color of their skin, whatever their background, wherever they came from. It doesn't matter because it's His body. These men, as they prayed, they submitted to the Lord and to His will. The things that came out of their mouths, they were damnable things in the eyes of some, but they were glory things in the eyes of the Lord. The Scripture says, when they had prayed, the place where they were was shaken, physically shaken. Whew, man, a rumbling. That rumbling that gets everybody's attention. The Scripture says they were filled with the Holy Spirit. The power of God came on them. They're sure going to need it. And so the gifts that were exercised through them, it was not them. It was God in them. He was working it out. The Scripture says they spoke the Word of God boldly. Their boldness became an evidence of their faith. Now, I'm not making a case today for being stupid. I am making a case today for whatever you do, do as you're driven by the Spirit. If that makes you stupid in some people's eyes. I was reading on the internet this morning. I don't know how I got sidetracked on this. I'm not ADD because I do come back. I saw an article by where they're quoting 67-year-old son of Professor Leakey, who has promised us yet again. And the byline read, "Evolution to be proven." And again, it's the way it's always proven. They said, and he makes the statement: it's just like everything else. In the next 20 to 30 years. It will be proven. Son, if you got it today, show me. Show me. Prove it today. Don't throw it out into the future again like you've done the past. Throw it into the endless past and think that it makes sense that way. Show it to me today. Show me. On that day in Jerusalem, God showed them the truth. That lame man was walking. These uneducated, untrained men had the ear of everyone in the city because their lives were different and their prayer life was the basis of it all in their relationship with the Lord. Out of their prayers, we see the power back of their existence. They had been. How about you? Have you been with Jesus? Let's bow our heads. Just in a moment, we're going to be on our feet in a time of prayer. I'm going to open the altar. As you respond to the Lord's invitation today, the first question is, do I have Jesus in my life? Do you know that you know that you know today? Not, are you a member of a church? Not, did you sign something somewhere? Not any of those, fill in the blank. But, do you have Jesus in your life? He doesn't care how religious you are, it's, do you have Jesus as your Lord and your Savior today? If you haven't, you can receive Him today. He's ready for you. Second, you have Jesus in your life. Now, what's happening? Are you some Pollyanna looking at the circumstances? Or are you seeing the world as it really is and seeing today how much you really need Jesus? Where you work, in your home, everything, it'll only be by His power. He wants to do a great work through you. That's right, you, wherever you are. What about it? Maybe it's time for a renewal of your relationship with Him. How about your prayer life? Do you pray? Are your prayers more you talking or you listening? Maybe it's time to shut up for a while and listen. Maybe it's time to open His Word. Instead of proof texting your own bent on everything, let the Spirit of God speak to you. Maybe it's time, instead of getting a message for everybody else, it's time to get a message from God for you. What's He saying to you? Lord, as we open the altar today, I pray for Your power. I pray for the power to live. Lord, I'm praying for the power of God to come in Savannah, Georgia. Lord, if the power of God hasn't come in me, Lord, let that happen first. Right here, today, God, I'm asking You for Your power. We've got needs, Lord, in this room right now. Needs that could stack up to heaven itself. And You are the answer. I'm asking You, God, to meet those needs today as we trust You. We confess our sin to You, Lord, today. How we have disappointed You. We are claiming Your forgiveness today. The altar's open. Won't you come? We'd like to get those cards from you. If you have an offering to bring, we'll wait just a moment to get the cards. There's a basket in the back and baskets up front. And the cards, if you have an offering to bring, if you'll bring that at this time. We'll send you out in just a second. But I want to encourage you next week. We have a message we're going to bring about moving on, about making new memories. And I hope you're going to be here. There's several of you that I'm looking at right now. You've already turned the corner. And God's got great things for you. But it's going to take great trust from you. Great trust from you. To trust Him. And today, you can't assume anything by what used to be. What used to be, used to be. It's a new day. It's a new day in the Lord. And it's time to move out in power. And I want to pray a blessing of protection on you. Who needs healing in your family today? Huh? Who needs a job today? Who has someone in your family that needs a job? Who needs to make more money at the job that you're at? Okay. I knew Daniel would get it in just a minute. Daniel's got a new job and all his ex-girlfriends are calling him now. I want to pray for you as I send you out right now, okay? Now, Lord, you've seen the hands. You're Lord over everything. You are the God who provides. You are Yahweh, Yireh, the God who provides for His people. And I'm asking you, Lord, for your healing right now. Your healing that would go for, that would lift disease, that would lift family problems, Lord, that would result in reconciliation to happen, Lord, in lives. We're asking you that right now. We're asking you, Lord, for jobs. And Lord, right now, there are some sitting here that the Lord has given jobs recently. Anybody like that? God's given you a job this year. Yes. Okay. God, thank God. Lord, we're praying for these others that have raised their hand. God, I'm praying a blessing that would come to your people because of faithfulness. In Jesus' name we pray. I send you out in His authority and in His power. Go in His name. Amen.
Joy.